Yeah, he's in the Bahamas on some island sipping daiquiris or something, ignoring Dwayne Lucas's calls, saying, you know what, I'm done.
There were these two racing dudes named Aaron and Jared who had advice on racing and they wanted to share it. Started a website where players go to see all their picks. The goal was make the fans some money and to cut down the risk. They put the plan into motion and at first it seemed silly. Make a website where the expert picks are freer than Willie. From a racetrack veteran to just a beginner. There's one place that you want to go to find you a winner. As a matter of fact, I want to hit the exacta. There's only one site that you'll keep coming back to. So next time that the horses all line up at the post, make sure you use the website that'll win you the most. Whether Churchill, Oakland, Gulfstream Parks, Saratoga, and all tracks in between, there's only one site to go to. When it comes to your racing needs and all of your bets, plus it's got a catchy name that no one ever forgets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com as good as it gets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.
What is up? Welcome to Blinkers Off. I'm Jared Welch. Joining me, Mr. Aaron Holtzman. You are not here. You're at home. What's going on?
No, I've skipped out on you 2 weeks in a row now. But, you know, we're so far advanced with technology now. We used to be just terrible when we weren't together because you couldn't even hear what I was saying for the most part. But now it's almost like I'm right there, so it's fine.
Yeah, and I can hear you well. I can see you even. You put on clothes just for this podcast, even whenever you aren't here. So it works out. But yeah, you're gonna have to show up next week, unfortunately.
So since you can see me, tell the public what I've got on right now.
That is a now retro American Pharoah shirt. Yes,
that's right. I rocked it all day today. So.
Yeah, you put it on, and every time I wear mine, I think, yes, this was awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll go ahead and say that's the best thing I saw today was when I looked in the mirror and saw myself with the American shirt on.
That's the best thing you see every day, isn't it?
Well, just today because I had the shirt on. Well, that or if I have the Fairfield shirt on that our buddy Ryan sent to us, you know. Those are pretty sweet too.
Yeah, I gotta say, just a quick shout out to our buddy who sent us the Fairfield shirts from the mention of on the show. Every time I wear mine, I always have somebody, because it's not, you know, around here, it's not a well known university or anything, and so they're like, "What is that?" And so right. I tell the story, and so I promote Fairfield. So I mean, well done. I mean, it works.
It really, you know, you're right. We have gotten some comments on it. I know my dad, when he first saw it, he was like, what is that? You know, like, it's because I've got the one that's got the mascot on it, which is a unique mascot.
Stags.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's done their job. And man, mine, and I'll tell the story real quick, was a good luck charm, actually, for me. I would wear it every time the Blues would have a big game. And they would win. So for game 7 of the Thunder, I wore it and they lost. So I think the good luck may be gone from the shirt now, but it's still a cool shirt.
It could be just hockey, though, you know, like.
Maybe it is a good luck charm for hockey. Yeah, I blew it. I didn't wear it enough maybe for the Blues. That could be, yeah, because, you know, Fairfield, maybe they don't. No, they do care about basketball. Basketball is how I got involved with Fairfield. So I was going to say maybe they don't care about basketball, but they definitely do.
Best thing, you already did yours. Best thing I saw today, technically this was posted on the site yesterday, but I looked at it again today, so it counts. It's got to be the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival, the early probables for the graded stakes. I mean, I know we've said it for a long time, how they've kind of turned this day, the 2 days, into like a Breeders' Cup. And you look at the field, and it totally is a Breeders' Cup that happens to be in June. So you got 9 races, like $7.5 million in purses. So the purses aren't, you know, obviously aren't what the Breeders' Cup are. But as far as the field calibers go, they're right there.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. I mean, it's like you said, it's a Breeders' Cup in June. And, you know, last year it was just epic because you had the Triple Crown on the line and the year before as well with California Chrome. That was great too. But you made a good point, I think, a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you said it on air or off air, but now, since the Triple Crown's not on the line, we can focus on the undercard races a lot more and enjoy those, because last year it was very tough knowing what was coming.
Right. I mean, this year is a lot like, last year, as far as aside from what the races look like, because the Met Mile last year was awesome. I mean, Mile was, we both loved that. Obviously, we couldn't enjoy it enough because we were very near the big moment, of course. But this year's Met Mile is insane. I mean, Anchor Down, Blofeld, Frosted, Marking, Mishawitch, Noble Bird, Upstart, Amy's Flatter. That's just to mention a few of them. The Woody Stevens, we found out today that, Counterforce is in that, but we might see Justin Squared in that now. So that's a rematch to there, a good rematch. And then, I mean, it goes on and on and on. Of course, we got Go Maggie Go, Karina Mee and Catherine Sophia in the Acorn.
Yeah, right.
Come on. And then there's no Triple Crown on the line, but the actual Belmont Stakes field is really good. I mean, it's a competitive field. So, I'm excited for the day, and I think everyone else should be too.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. And I don't know. I'm thinking I am almost looking most forward to that Catherine Sophia, Karina Mia at a mile. Throw in Go Maggie Go too. Man, I mean, I don't think Catherine Sophia can get beat at a mile. I mean, I think she'll just kill him. But Karina Mia last time out was incredible at Churchill Downs. So could be really good.
All right. We'll talk about that next week. Of course, that is Belmont Stakes week next week. And the dudes will be in Vegas to take that in. So we will have a ton of information coming up to the weekend, and then of course we'll be in Vegas too. I'm sure we'll have some live tweeting going on in Las Vegas about the Belmont. So stay tuned for that. But today is the show that you want to listen to. Today's show, we preview the Grade One Vanity Mile, which of course has our girl Beholder in it. The Penn Mile, the Grade Three Penn Mile at Penn National. Interview trainer Dale Romans and give rapid fire selections for stakes races around the country. Let's go. The Grade One Vanity Mile now on Saturday at Santa Anita Park, race 7. It's worth $400,000 for fillies and mares 3-year-olds and up, going 1 mile. Yes, it's 1 mile. So it's going to be ran for the 75th time in its history. And they've turned it into a mile, which it used to be a longer race, mile 16th. It's now a mile. This is now the, the fourth time that they've had the Vanity Mile, or Vanity, I should say, at Santa Anita. It used to be at Hollywood Park, of course, and they no longer are open. So now we've got a Vanity Mile. But let's get past that. Stellar Wind, the horse that we last saw in the Breeders' Cup. If you know us, you know we love this horse. She draws the rails, her first start of the year. But even better, Beholder draws right outside of her. And we know we all love Beholder. And then if that doesn't change anything, Terrace, the four horse, a horse that's really running really well right now, going a mile gives the horse a chance. So we've got a serious, serious Grade One on our hands with two Eclipse champions and Stellar Wind and Beholder.
Yeah, it's an excellent race. And I think all of us Zenyatta fans definitely did a double take when we saw this race was going to be ran at a mile. I was looking at the form and looking at, what each horse had done at the distance. And I thought, this is very odd because the form's wrong. This race is a mile and 16th. All these stats are wrong. And then I went up and it actually was at a mile now. So that's how I learned about it. Great race, race of the weekend. There's no question about it. You laid it out. There's seven horses, but forget about four of them. It's all about Stellar Wind, Beholder, and Terrace. I'll start Stellar Wind. So excited to see her back. Such a gut-wrenching loss for you and I in the Breeders' Cup distaff. We've been on that horse, well, we picked her to win the Kentucky Oaks. We loved her Santa Anita races. Just didn't win the Oaks. Came back, though, only ran two other times in between the Oaks and the distaff and won them both. We felt so good about that. And we felt so good when she turned for home. I thought she had that race won, hung a little bit, and got second. First race back since that October start. She may need one. This mile race is a really good starting off point. I would have to play her underneath for sure. I put Tara second. I've never really loved her, but man, that last race at Churchill Downs ultra impressive, you know, over five length victory and really beat a nice field, and not only beat them, but crushed them. So I think at this mile distance, coming off that effort, she's going to be awfully tough. It's exciting because she is going to make Beholder run a little bit in here. And let's face it, she hasn't had to do a lot of running in a long time. Even in the Pacific Classic, she really, you know, cruised home, let's say. So if we can get Beholder out of a gallop here and actually see if she's, you know, fit and ready for a little bit of a test, it's going to be exciting. But anytime she runs, it's exciting, and I can't wait, and I think she's going to get it done.
Yeah, that's a good point you made. I mean, we really haven't seen her run. I mean, you could argue, I guess, Pacific, because it was such a big race, but since then, you know, that was August of last year is when the Pacific was, so you're talking, it's been a while since we've seen Beholder's actually had a competitive, serious race, and yeah, I mean, this is stacking up to be just that. Because you're right, with Terrace, that's a horse that that you cannot ignore what she did in that that last race of the Humana de Staff on May 7th on Derby Day. That was super impressive, going 7 furlongs. This horse can win at a mile and 16th, obviously can win at 7. So miles should be right in her wheelhouse. She's 1 for 1 at the distance. So she's a serious contender, and what she does, it will be interesting. You know, she's shown that she can go wire to wire. She's also shown that she can sit off the pace like she did in the last race. So that might dictate what we see with Beholder. I mean, if, you know, ideally, I'd say Beholder would maybe prefer that she would go so she could sit off of it, because, I mean, that's typically what we've seen. But we have seen Beholder win wire to wire as well. So it's really going to be interesting. And then, you know, Stellar Wind's a horse who has won coming from way off. But she's also won sitting right on the pace as well. So there's a lot of pace scenarios here. I caution most of our players that use pace as, you know, live and die by pace to be careful, because there could be a lot of different pace setups in this race that we, and then not to mention the other four horses, I mean, that are relatively, you know, definitely at a lower level than these. So you never know what those horses might do. I love Stellar Wind, you know it, but there's no way I can pick against Beholder. That last race, the Adoration, I mean, I know it was a workout at best, but so easy. And then the Pacific, I mean, dude, she ran a 1:14 buyer that day, just unbelievable race that day. And she's just better, you know, she's just better than these. And I look forward to seeing her tested maybe a little bit, but I don't see it being too much of a test for her, to be honest.
No, I don't either. I do think they'll have to ride her, you know, so that's a little something different. But, you know, you made an interesting point, and I think what has maybe, for lack of a better word, sprung Beholder to a different level is that she has shown the ability to sit up the pace much better than she did early in her career.
Yeah.
You know, early in her career, she really wanted the lead. Man, I'm telling you now, she can sit off and pounce. It's deadly. You know, just look at that Pacific Classic. She's 5 lengths off the lead, you know, at the start. Well, you know, in her younger days, you may have thought, well, she may not run a good race today, but no, that's not the case. I think she's just gotten older and kind of learned how to do things even better. You're right. I say that we're going to get her to run a little bit, going to make her earn it. But at the same time, I think she wins it easily.
You know, something about Beholder to think about that's pretty wild is she's the kind of horse that she, you know, running against very mediocre horses most of her career, a lot like Zenyatta did for a while. If, you know, she's one that it shows just how special Zenyatta was, but also a horse that you could see with a little different look could be right there with chasing down a Zenyatta type record for 19 in a row, because, you know, she's won 16 starts, including, you know, from what I can see in the past performances, it might be more than this, but, you know, she lost the Ogden Phipps. Past that, you know, she'd won 11 of her last 12 races, including like her last, you know, 8. So, you know, this is a horse that with a little luck, you know, it's just interesting to think about that. You know, she definitely had the ability to try for that record, considering she typically runs against mediocre fields. Not to any, you know, not to knock, that's not a knock on her, but that's just the way it's kind of rolled out. Now, with Stellar Wind, we heard right after the race that day at the Breeders' Cup that the plan is we're going to keep her in California, prep her for the Breeders' Cup next year, because obviously the Breeders' Cup this year is in Santa Anita, and where she flourishes. She's 3-for-3. So what do you think of her moving forward from here?
I think that's the big key moving forward. First of all, let's get her some more races this year. You know, she just, I think that more than anything else, what beat her in the distaff was she only had two races between the Kentucky Oaks and the distaff. I mean, and her last race before the distaff was August 30th. So I really think if she would have been a little sharper, she may have won that race, and then you really would have put her stamp on the year as you know, being very strong. But I think moving forward after this one, I love her. I wrote a little preview on this for the website, and I basically said I don't know if today is her day, but I think her day is coming down the road. I think she's going to have a big year. And one thing we got to remember, curling horses do seem to improve a lot as they get older. So not all of them, but in general, that usually is the case. So that is something that gets you even more excited.
All right, but for today, for Saturday, the dudes both are on.
Beholder is opening up on them. Almost impossible to believe. She's turned this into an exercise gallop. Beholder is absolutely poetry in motion. Beholder and Gary Stevens didn't win it. They romped in the Pacific Classic.
Penn National for the Penn Mile Stakes. This is, of course, a grade three, but it is a big-time race for Penn National and a big-time race for the nationwide. You know, this is the fourth running for the 500K Penn Mile. It is a grade three, as I mentioned, and we look to have the first time ever in their brief history to have a filly win this race, and that is, of course, Catch a Glimpse from Mark Cassie. He's got two in here. Catch a Glimpse is a four-horse, and he's also got Aeroforce, who we all know, the two-horse. But there's a few others in here that looked upset. What do you think?
Well, this is a very fun race because other than one horse, the number one horse, Silent Waters, who I don't think can compete, you can make a case for the other six. And the other six should take a lot of money, which makes whichever horse you land on very playable. So you got to love that from a betting standpoint. I'm going to go with the one of the six that I'm totally against, and that is Oscar Nominated. I probably just put him to the winner's circle, but I'm totally against this horse. You know, people were saying, well, you know, if it was on synthetics in the Kentucky Derby, he maybe could compete. I absolutely disagree with that even. He was slow on synthetics. He's been slow on the turf. His numbers don't match up anywhere close to really any of the other ones in here. So I'm totally against him, and I do think he'll take a lot of money because he ran in the Kentucky Derby. So that's good news. Listen, it was really hard for me to pick against Catch a Glimpse because I love this horse. We've picked her three straight times. She's won all three. Just a great filly. But I am all about Beach Patrol in this race. I thought he ran fantastic last time at Churchill Downs to just get beat ahead. Now he's with Chad Brown, which is just great for me. Gets Rosario aboard, another very good positive thing for me, even though Flavian Pratt would have been a fine jockey as well for him. I really have a lot of respect for him. But I think Beach Patrol getting better every race, I think it's his time to shine.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately it comes down to three horses for me. Aeroforce, Beach Patrol, Catch a Glimpse. They're all three next to each other. I'll start with Catch a Glimpse because that's the horse who I'd say that's the horse I'm trying to beat. You know, this is the first horse ever to run in this race, the Penn Mile, that has a Breeders' Cup victory under their belt, and it happens to be a filly who happens to try to be the first filly to win the race. So there's a lot of firsts in this race, and you know, we both love this horse, and we've ridden the streak with her because we've picked her time and time again. Other than the Breeders' Cup, since then she really showed us how good of a horse she was. I think what they're trying to do, I think what Cassie's trying to do here is he's trying to figure out how good she is. He knows that she's not Tepin good, and that's, I mean, that's rare air for sure.
Right.
But he knows that she's not Tepin good, and he knows that she's better than a lot of the you know, the fillies that she's been facing. So how good is she? So this is a test, I think, and while I do really, really like her, she's going to have to prove it to me again against the boys here, because I just, as much as I like her, I can't do it. Aeroforce, this is one, I've said it last time before the American Turf, he's back on the turf, we know he loves the turf. This is one that if he runs like he can, and like he did in the Breeders' Cup, this is a horse that will probably win this race. He's that good. It's just, you know, last race, it wasn't bad. It was just, went straight to the lead and really ran a valiant race considering, you know, had to hold on for fourth considering how fast of a pace he set. Again, though, I went through these three horses, and plain and simple, and I felt like the horse that's running the best right now is Beach Patrol, the three horse. You and our boy Saratoga Slim, we were talking earlier today about this race, and I had not made my pick at that point, and you had mentioned Beach Patrol, and I went into it saying, okay, I'm gonna prove him wrong. You know, I'm going against him, and I couldn't do it. Really, you know, he's trained by Chad Brown now, like you mentioned, which. Not bad, and it happens to be first time starters for Chad Brown, hit at 26%. That's not a bad percentage. No. In his last three races, he's beaten three comeback winners, and he's ran back-to-back 92-plus buyers. So neither Aeroforce or Catch a Glimpse have ever matched that in their careers. I feel like both Cassie horses, this is pivotal, I think. Both Cassie horses are going to be all around the lead. And if he can run a race, he's done both, Beach Patrol, that is, has done both. But if he can run a race like he did in that American Turf race, where he can sit off of it a little bit, or like he did in his maiden special weight win, where he sit off of it a little bit at a mile, then he'll be deadly here. Because I think that's how he wins this race, is by sitting off of it and then stomping him down the stretch. Which, by the way, Rosario and his famous stretch drives on board. I love the angle. So I'm with you, Beach Patrol.
I think one thing I'll say, I thought with Catch a Glimpse, I think it's an odd time to be facing the boys. It's an odd, you know, I never dreamed she would do it. But the one thing about it, if she's going to beat the boys, the mile distance is going to be the distance she can do it. And I think she'll run the race that she always runs. She'll get out in front, and I think she'll run very well. But, I, you know, like you said, Beach Patrol sitting off of it, we definitely want him to sit off this pace and pounce at the right moment. I think he's going to be too tough to hold off.
Yeah, he might just be that horse that is coming on at the right time. And the fact that they, you know, they new owners, you know, they buy, you know, and new owners and then Chad Brown, and it's just like, enter this into this race that's not exactly easy. Mm-hmm. Says a lot about what they think about this horse. And yes, he lost, but you know, last time out, but as a head bob loss, it was a fantastic race to Camelot Kitten, who's pretty dang good. But he beat Surgical Strike, who came back to win. So, you know, what this horse has done in his short history, really, you know, it took him a few times to break his maiden, but since then, he's just, you know, one race after another has just been really good. And at a mile, I think the horse, that's what's great about this horse with Chad Brown. He can do a lot of things with this horse because we can see that he could win going a mile and an eighth, which he's done. And mm-hmm. he can win in a mile, I believe. And he's done that as well. So I'm with you. I hope Catch a Glimpse runs well because, I that's a horse that is running really, really well and running on a six win streak right now and like to see a filly beat the boys. But for my money, I've got to take Beach Patrol because I think we're going to have some value there. Earlier this week, our friends over at Betfred interviewed trainer of Belmont Stakes hopefuls Cherry Wine and Brody's Cause, Dale Romans. Here's Betfred's Jamie Watson with the interview.
How have both been working as well ahead of the race?
I mean, Brody came out of the Derby in wonderful shape, and we could have ridden the Preakness if we had won it, but we decided that the 5 weeks was more important and to try to win a Classic, so we just waited on him. And, of course, that Cherry Wine ran a wonderful race in the Preakness. We were very happy with his second-place finish. And he seems like a horse that is on a steady improve at all times.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more, if we can, about Cherry Wine. I think what impressed us most over here was the way that he travelled around that final bend, made up all of that ground. And as you said, it was a great run. How do you reflect on the Preakness?
Well, strategizing, we thought that there would be a lot of pace in the race and that we had to do something to maximize that. And we rolled the dice that the pace on paper would materialize, and then we would just take way back and make one run. And it all came together for us.
Yeah, it certainly did. And how much better do you think he could be over even further? Because you would suggest the way he finished that there's more to come.
Well, I think the further the better for him. Further the better. I think he's going to be a dandy horse at a mile and a half.
And you mentioned he's still improving. How much more do you think there is to come from him then?
I don't know where the top will be, but he just keeps on getting better and better.
Obviously, there's some form now to overturn on Exaggerator. How do you think you're going to overturn that?
Well, you know, Brody's cause was beaten Exaggerator twice last year as a two-year-old. And so, you know, then Exaggerator came back and beat him in the Derby. So it's not like we haven't been able to do it before, and hopefully we'll be able to try to do it again.
Speaking of Brody's cause, then, how do you reflect on his run in the Derby?
He came out of it fresh and feeling good. He's an exceptional racehorse. You know, he's two Grade 1 winners already. And, you know, the 5 weeks, maybe that'll be the difference. Maybe we can catch Exaggerator when he's getting a little bit tired.
I was reading an interview that you did, I think it was with Bloodhorse in America, talking about how you're almost teaching this horse to go a mile and a half. I was just wondering if you could tell us how you're going about that.
We're spending a lot more time on the racetrack. I think mentally for a horse to be out there for as long as it takes to run a mile and a half, which they've never done before in the U.S. until this race, and they probably will never do it again. So I just want them on the racetrack a long time and mentally used to being out there for, you know, an extended period of time.
What would be your expectations then for both horses in the Belmont? Obviously, both going with outstanding chances.
Well, you know, I've run in the Belmont 7 times, and I've run 3rd 4 times, and I think these two give me my most realistic chance to win the race.
Time for Rapid Fire, presented by Mr. Z. Far away on some tropical island, Mr. Z wrote us in and said, hey, I would like to sponsor your guys' Rapid Fire section, so here it is.
Wow, Mr. Z, I thought, I didn't know what I thought of Mr. Z. I didn't know if he was still around or not, so he's on an island. That's good to know. I'm happy to know that he's happy.
Yeah, he's in the Bahamas on some island sipping daiquiris or something, just... ignoring Dwayne Lucas's calls, saying, you know what, I'm done. I'm ready for retirement. So, yeah, to Mr. Z, this section is for you. Let's start with race 6, the Shoemaker Mile Stakes, Grade 1 at Santa Anita Park. It's worth $400K for 3-year-olds and up. Going 1 mile on the turf. Small field here, field is 6, but it's led by the number 1, Heart to Heart. This horse looks very, very tough. Think this horse is beatable?
He's probably beatable, but the deal with Heart to Heart is he looks like he's got a pace advantage in this race, and he just looks a little bit better than everybody in this race. So, yes, I think he's beatable. No, I'm not going to try to beat him. I put Heart to Heart on top.
Well, I should start with saying I tried to beat him in a way that I thought, okay, you know, he's a favorite. How do I beat him? I can't beat him. I could not find a horse that I felt comfortable picking. I think this, you know, Heart to Heart will go straight to the lead, never look back. He's 4 for 9 at this distance, 4 straight triple-digit buyers, and 3 for 4 on the year. The only loss coming to Miss Temple City last out in the Maker's Mile, which was a huge, massive performance. Just too good for this field. It's got to be Heart to Heart. Let's go to Belmont Park, race 8, the Pennine Ridge Stakes, grade 3. We're 200K for 3-year-olds, going 1 1/8 on the turf. Philip 10 shows up for this one. This is, we got some Chad Browns in here, some Todd Pletchers and Clement. Where are you going?
Well, if I pick Beach Patrol to win the Penn Mile, I think I've got to pick Camlock Hitton to win this race, because Camlock Hitton beat Beach Patrol last time out. So, and isn't it something, you know, Chad Brown beats Camlock Hitton, or beats Beach Patrol, and now he gets Beach Patrol in his barn. So, he's going to win both these races now. So, unbelievable. Chad Brown just gets richer. So, Camlock Hitton for me.
Yeah, it could be a nice day on Saturday for Chad Brown all across the country. I'll start plain simple. I went with one of the Chad Brown horses. I liked Camlock Hitton. I thought that's who I'd pick. But I went with another horse, and I went with number 7, Call Provision, for Chad Brown. 1-for-1 lifetime, so, you know, just a fresh start. First career start was in April at Aqueduct. It was really impressive, coming from way back and turning it on down the stretch. The race was at a mile 16th. The runout was super impressive. The thing about this that I think is the biggest key for me, Chad Brown doesn't just throw these horses in there off one lifetime start. He knows this horse is talented. I love this angle, and it pays more times than it doesn't. So I'm going with the new shooter of Chad Brown, and that's number 7, Call Provision. Churchill Downs, race 10, the Aristide Stakes. It's a grade 3 worth $100K for 3-year-olds and up. Going 6 furlongs. Field of 7 shows up for this one, and we got several horses in here that we know. Taze on Ice, the one horse. Channing Hill now riding for Bob Baffert in Barbados. The 2-horse Limousine Liberal. Union Jackson, the 4-horse, finally in a stakes race. It's been so long. This horse has been running so well. We're like, what are they waiting for? Here he is, Union Jackson in a stakes race. Alsvid, the 5-horse. That horse can run on any surface and runs well. Where are you going?
You know, who won this race last year? Alsvid. He beat Work All Week in this race last year.
Yep.
He hasn't won since. Isn't that amazing to think about? As good as Alsvid is, that he hasn't won since. But he's been up against some very, very tough horses. I don't think he's up against that tough a horse today. I'm picking Alsvid on top.
Okay, just so the listeners understand, we talk before we record. We just literally talked, and he said, no way do I pick Alsvid on top. You can't pick Alsvid on top. And what does he do? He picks Alsvid on top.
I picked Alsvid on top. That's right.
Okay, I'm not picking him.
Listening to you. I was just listening to you and said, oh, yeah, I can't do it.
You enjoy placing that win ticket. He'll do very, very well to finish second or third. He'll run well, but not well enough. I went with the winner. And that's number 1, Taze on Ice. I know his speed numbers may not be the best in the field, but he's 2-for-2 at 6 furlongs and has done it on both sloppy and fast tracks. He drew the rail, but one thing about him that I really, really like and I've seen in his races lately is that even when he goes to the front, because he breaks very well usually, he goes to the front, he's got the ability to lay off and let horses get in front of him and then pounces at the end. He did that last time, and I think he's going to need to do that this time with a lot of speed in this race. I think he'll be able to sit right on the rail, get the dream trip the entire way around, sit off the pace, and then pounce. And Channing Hill on board, it's a win-win. So I know the speed numbers may not reflect what some of these others in the field do, but so far he's done nothing wrong going 6 furlongs. I'm with Taze on Ice.
I've got one. I know it's rapid fire. I've got one question, though. Were you surprised that they threw him in a race against older horses already?
A little, just for the fact that he's still pretty lightly raced when it comes to, these sprint races at this level. But that also could say how much Bob Baffert thinks of this horse. And, he has options. So, I guess I'm a little surprised, but I still feel confident that he can do it.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, too. And I think I look at it the same way you do is, hey, he's got confidence, and especially at 6 furlongs. He's a very good 6-furlong horse. We'll see if he can take a little bit of a step up here, though.
Let's go back to Penn National for the Penn Oaks race 1 on the – you don't ever see a graded – a major stakes race as race 1 on the program. Usually they always have a buffer, at least one buffer. Not here. We're going right into it because it is a night it's at 6:05 local time, so they want to get the big races going as soon as Belmont and those races or those tracks are wrapping up. So we're the Penn Oaks. It's worth $200K for fillies, 3-year-olds going 1 mile on the turf. Field of 7 in this one. What do you think?
Well, like you said, it's strange, but it works for him. It seems to be doing okay. So, very competitive race, just like the Penn Mile. Really, any of them have got a shot. But, Price Perfection is a horse I've liked for a long time to a fault, So I'm not going to go against her here. I think this is a really good spot. I think a mile is perfect for her. I'm going to give Price Perfection another shot here.
I say, here's what's going to happen. Rosario, Chad Brown, on the turf. This is, we're going to see this multiple times that night. Here's the first time it's going to happen. Price perfection. Number four, that's mine as well. I mean, Rosario has ridden her twice, one of which was her one and only Graded Stakes win, the Grade 3 win, two back. You know, Brown is deadly at small layoffs, just those like kind of 30 to 60 day layoffs, 30% to hitting that. So I like this angle. I mean, Price perfection. I don't feel it's automatic, but I feel like it's good enough to take a bet with. Number four, Price perfection. It's all the time we have. Check us out at racingdudes.com for our free picks and our premium selections on our handicapping products page. 100% money back guarantee and now covering all tracks. Congrats to everyone that used our Pimlico tip sheet to cash in on Preakness Saturday. Our tips paid over $10K. Purchase our 1 month pro package anytime on or before June 11th, which is Belmont Stakes Day, and receive our full card Belmont Stakes tips plus exclusive Belmont Stakes wagering guide for $25 value for no additional charge. This is probably our best product we've ever done, with $7.5 million in purse money on Belmont Stakes Day. The standalone product will highlight all 10 stakes races on Saturday, June 11th at Belmont Park, and break down each race with top contenders, values, value plays, long shots, pace analysis, wagering strategies, and picks for multiple professional handicappers. If that's not enough, this guide also includes a section on multi-race wagering strategies. Whoa, that's a lot. I'm going to buy one. I mean, that's how much I want it.
I tell you what, it's going to be great. I mean, just the Derby and the Preakness ones were great, and we had the Oaks on there too. But, man, Mike's really outdone himself with this one. This is going to be a great.
For sure. We're currently covering 33 tracks, right?
33, that's right. Yeah, it's they just keep adding on me, man.
No other website out there exists that does that many tracks. All free picks. So check that out. We're on Twitter at @race_dudes, LinkedIn, Google Plus, and Facebook. Right, I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Haltzman. Good luck this weekend.
RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.